Psalms chapter number 73 and verse 1, and here we see just a simple phrase that really the first part of that sentence or this scripture here. The Bible says, truly God is good to Israel. And here he's talking about how the psalmist is talking about how good God has been to Israel. And listen, we know that Israel was God's chosen people and is still today. But here he was telling how good God, just a statement just basically made that how good God is. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, about truly God is good. And let me say this, in my life, God has been very good to me. Just give you a brief a summary of my testimony. I grew up a good person, didn't grow up in church, and I didn't get saved until I was 27. And I was a good boy, a good person, thought that my good works would get me to heaven. And that's what I always thought. And later on in life, I was exposed to the gospel, fell under conviction, asked the Lord to save me April the 30th of the year 2000 in my bedroom on a Sunday morning about 8:45. And from that moment on, you know what, I began a new chapter in my life. I began a new walk, a new foundation, if you will. But God has truly, truly been good to me. Now, I could stand up here, and I will probably give some illustrations throughout the morning, but you know what? I could stand up here probably all day and just name one after one, thing after thing, time after time where God has truly, truly, truly been good to me. And I want to let you to know this morning. Listen, God can be good to all of us, and He is good. He loves all of us. He loves us all the same. He loves me no more, no less than He does you. But truly, listen, God has been good to me. And because God's been so good to me, you know what? He doesn't require me or make me serve Him. We're commanded that we live for Him, that we let our light shine, that we do serve Him. There's things in our life that He's going to want us to do. We're going to have opportunities where we can be used of God. But it's our choice what we do with that. It's our choice whether we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do exactly what You have me to. And also, it's our choice whether we say, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. I can stand before you today and say that, you know what, there's been times in my life where the Lord has told me specifically to do something, and I did not do it. And let me say that I have paid the price for that. Disobedience, the Bible says, is sin. We know that, and God hates sin. He doesn't hate people. He doesn't hate you or me. He hates the sin in our life. There's been times that I haven't done what He's told me to do. But yet there have been times where, you know what, I know for sure that I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do. I often say this, every time that we're obedient to Him, listen, there'll be blessings that follow. But God's been truly, truly, truly good to me. And because of that, listen, I want to give you four or five things today. Because God's been so good to me, there's just some things that I've made a promise to Him. I've made a promise to my family. I've made a promise, most importantly, to the Lord, that there's just some things that I'm going to do for Him. He's been so good to me. Now, let me ask you this. All of us in here, and we have friends, and there's some that are closer than others. You know what? You probably can think back to somebody special in your life that has done something very special for you. And you know what? It just means a little bit more to you. Maybe you love them a little bit more. You like them a little bit more. But listen, God's truly been good to us. And let me say this. He's been better to me than anybody in this world. But because He's been good to me, listen, there's some things that I'm going to do for Him. Number one, listen, I'm going to just keep praying. You know what? I'm a firm believer that prayer still works. Amen. The Bible speaks time after time and story after story of those that have prayed, and through prayer God has answered. And actually, it's proved in the Word of God that God answers prayers. One story that I love there is in 2 Kings, where King Hezekiah, how he was told by a man of God that to set his house in order, and that he was going to die. And the Bible says that he fell to his knees and he began to pray and he began to cry out to God and beg God, oh God, you know how I've lived for You all these years, and Lord, You know I've done. I don't want to die. Please, Lord. And And the Bible says that just within a matter of minutes, you know what? God had sent that man of God, Isaiah, back to Hezekiah and say, listen, God has heard thy prayer, and he's going to add 15 years to your life. And you know what? Listen, prayer works. The greatest gift that we have today after we're saved, the greatest weapon, I guess, that we have today is prayer. And so often, listen, we misuse it. We take advantage of it. Yes, we get in a ritual sometimes of we pray before our food. And listen, we should pray before we eat. But we should earnestly be thanking God, hey, I am so glad that I have something to eat. And Lord, thank you. We get in that routine that it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over. But listen, God has truly been good to me. I'm going to keep praying. You know what? Number one, listen, I'm going to keep praying for my family. And listen, I love my family, my wife. Of course, she's here with us today, my two children. God's given me a precious family. And listen, I love my family. And there's some things, listen, I'm going to keep praying for my family. Number one, listen, that we stay in God's will, that we do exactly what he wants us to do. That, you know what, we don't waver at all. But you know what, when that time comes, that we just exactly, Lord, I'm here, I'm yours, whatever you want me to do, I'm available. Listen, I'm going to pray for my family. Not only that, listen, I'm going to continue praying for our school. And I say our school, this is not my school, it's our school. It's the Lord's. Listen, this is his. We're just a part of it. I'm just a part of it. And you know what? I'm going to keep praying for it. That, you know what? God will send us who he needs, you know, the ones that need to be here. And I, you know what? I'm going to keep praying for you guys. Listen, I know that you're faced with things today that I was never faced with at your age. I understand that. We live in a day and time where things are a lot more wicked than they were several years ago when I graduated, when I came through school. But you know what? You're faced with so many things. You're torn. You're pulled with friends one way or the other. Our flesh still desires to have things of this world at times. And you know what? We're pulled here and there. And never has there been a greater time that I should and that we should and your teacher should and all of us, we need to pray for each other. But you know what? I'm going to keep praying that God will do great things in my life. It was through prayer that the Lord got a hold of me, no doubt whatsoever. My family prayed for me. My father, this church, was praying for me. And I didn't even hardly know anybody here. But yet, day after day, time after time, week after week, they just kept praying. And you know what? One day the Lord got a hold of my heart. So, you know, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying for my family. I'm going to keep praying for the school. I'm going to keep praying for my church. I love my church. Listen, you ought to love your church. Wherever the Lord has you, you ought to love your church. Love your pastor. Pray for them. But you know, God's been so good to me. I'm going to keep praying for those. Listen, I'm going to keep praying for the lost. Some of you may sit in here today. You've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, Jesus said himself in John 6:44, except you be drawn by the Holy Spirit. Except you be drawn, a man can't be saved. There's going to be a time in your life, and there may be multiple times in your life, but there's going to come a point in your life that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is going to deal with your heart, show you that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. And at that moment, listen, you have the choice, the opportunity to trust him, the Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Listen, but the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And throughout, there's other stories that I could go to. But listen, we ought to, and if you're in here today, and listen, you're saved, you're born again, hey, you ought to be wanting to serve him because he's been so good to you. He's been so good to you. And listen, you ought to want to pray for those too. But not only that, listen, I'm going to keep obeying the scriptures. God's been so good to me. Listen, I'm going to keep praying for my family, for my church, my school, for each one of you, for others, for the lost. But not only that, listen, I'm going to keep obeying the scriptures. I've already said there's been times that I've been very obedient in my life, and there's been times where I haven't been. But let me say this. Listen, this is the Word of God. Hey, this is our instruction. This is what we're to live by. Every answer or question that we have, we can find an answer in this book. Often say my favorite verse, those of you that are new, listen, my favorite verse in the Bible is James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I've often said this, when you're faced with decisions, you're faced with things in your life, you come to a point in your life that you're at a crossroads and you've got to make a decision. Listen, you need to ask this question. If I make this decision, is it going to be pleasing to God? And if the answer to that is yes, then guess what? It's okay to go ahead and do that. But if you know in your heart that, hey, it's not going to be okay, then you know what? At that moment, you need to make your mind up, I'm not going to do it because I know it's not right. And let me say this, when we do make a mistake and when we do sin, and listen, we're all sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me and you, and we all are. And we're not going to live a perfect life. We're not. But you know what? We can strive, and we should strive to live that life as perfectly as we can. But I'm going to keep obeying the Scripture. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15 and 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to grab the concept of that verse, we see that in the Old Testament, in those days, when a person had sin in their life and they had to offer up a sacrifice to the Lord for the forgiveness of sins. And that was very important. And in the book of Leviticus, it tells you in detail exactly what they had to do and for what particular sin they had to do an offering of a certain kind in a certain way. And but listen, in our life, when we sin, you know what? Nobody has to tell me when I've done wrong. Nobody does. Guess what? The Holy Spirit of God tells me. You know what? In your life, listen, when you do something that's wrong, guess what? There's just going to be something inside of you that says, you know what? This, you shouldn't be doing this. And listen, that's the Holy Spirit working in our life. And we need to let Him rule and dominate, absolutely dominate our life and lead us. As if we were blind and couldn't see, and yet we're walking around with Him holding our hand, guiding us in each step of the way and guiding us down every path. But listen, God's been so, so good to me. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep obeying the Word of God, the Scriptures. And let me say this, I'm going to keep trying to win souls. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs 11 and 30. He that winneth souls is wise. One of the hardest thing for some people, and for some it's fairly easy, but you know what? For some people, it's very hard for you to go out and be able to witness to somebody else. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I never would do that or point anybody out. But probably if I ask you to raise your hand, you know what? Most of you or some of you, and probably most of you would probably say, you know what? I have a hard time doing that. I get nervous. I don't know really what to say. Maybe I don't. And I understand, hey, that's the way I was at one time. But you know what? Listen, when I got saved and I truly surrendered my life, I mean, I turned my whole life over to Him. I had a desire in my heart for everybody that I come in contact with, you know what, to feel what I felt. Hey, to know without a doubt that they're saved, that you know what, to have that joy, that peace, the Bible says it passes all understanding in our heart. And listen, if you're saved, listen, you ought to have that desire in your heart for somebody or for everybody to have what you have. You know what, and truly, listen, my testimony, y'all can probably look at me, and the Bible says that you'll know a man by the fruit that they bear, and I hope that my life that I live before you, you would say, you know what, I believe he is saved. But you know what, nobody truly knows that a person's saved except that person and the Lord. But let me say this, listen, he can use you just as he uses me. He wants to use you just as bad as he wants to use me. And you know what? If we don't step up and allow him to, he'll just have somebody else do it. But listen, what blessings we'll miss out on, what blessings we may miss out on by being disobedient. But I'm going to keep obeying the Scriptures. I'm going to keep winning souls. I could just briefly go back and tell you, several different instances where I've been able and have the privilege to lead somebody to the Lord. I used to work in Atlanta for several 13 years, and I got to witness to a lot of homeless people, and I don't know how many yet I've been able to lead to the Lord. I've been at a funeral home, and actually at a funeral home of the granddaughter of a certain lady that passed away. I was able to lead her to the Lord by the casket. In these altars, many of you, I've been able to kneel beside you and show you in the Word of God how to be saved. And listen, we ought to have that desire for others, you know what, to have what you have, to be saved. And listen, the Lord may use you. You know what, there's some people in here that I can't, that some of you, you know what, there's people that I can't reach, I'll never be able to reach. But you know what, you may be able to. You know what, it may be your parents, it may be one of your brothers or sisters or somebody that, you know what, I won't be able to reach. But hey, you and your life that you live and your testimony, you know what? Hey, you may be able to reach them. And just the opposite, there may be some that you can't reach for Christ, but yet he will allow me to. But listen, I hope that you have a desire to see souls saved. The Bible said, listen, God's been so good to me. Hey, he saved me. And just because of that, and that alone, you know what makes me want to share my testimony and what God's done for me with someone else. You may say, but I just don't know. I just don't know what to say, preacher. Let me tell you this. You know what? If you're saved in here, you know your testimony better than anybody. And just sharing what the Lord's done in your life and how he changed your life may be just the very thing that somebody needs to hear. And but I'm going to listen. He's been so good to me. I'm going to keep winning souls. And listen, my both of my children, I was able to lead to the Lord. And my wife was saved early in along in life. And I'm glad that our family is saved. But you know what? Listen, it shouldn't just stop there. I've got brothers and sisters. I've got aunts and uncles and cousins. And I've got friends and family, you know what, that I want to see saved. And you know what? God's been so good to me. And I believe it's my obligation, you know what, to try my best, hey, to let them see Christ in me. And not only that, let me say this, that God's been so good to me that, hey, I'm gonna pay whatever price it takes. I'm going to pay whatever price that it takes. 2 Timothy 2:3, the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, as a soldier for him, there's going to be times that come, and they have been in my life. I've been saved 13 years. There's been times in my life, listen, I mean where I have truly, truly, listen, been persecuted, been talked about, run down, ready to just, I mean, so broken and hurt that you know what, at times I'm like, it's not worth it. I just want to give up. But you know what? The Bible says that we need to endure those times of hardness, those hard times in our life. Listen, we just got to keep going. We got to keep going, and we just got to keep the faith and keep pushing until we get through. But you know, whatever price it takes, it doesn't matter whatever price it takes, whatever sacrifices that we need to make, me and my family, whatever it takes, you know what? I'm going to pay that price to serve him and to live for him. Listen, he's been so, so good to me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, God of heaven, God, Jehovah God, loved us, each one of you, me and you. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten precious son. But word begotten means the only, there's the unique, only the one, never to be another like him. And he was very special, we know. He was born, the Bible says, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, willingly laid down his life at Calvary and paid the price, shed his blood, paid the price for the sins of all mankind. That each one of us in here today, every person, will have that opportunity to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, that's what we call the gospel. And listen, because he saved me, listen, there's some things in my life. He's been so good to me. You know what? I'm going to, whatever price it takes, whatever it takes, you know what? I'm going to do it. And let me say this. When you start sacrificing things to serve God, you know what? You're going to have to manage your time. One thing that I have a hard time doing, and I've got to get better, and I pray that God helps me, is managing my time better. Yes, I'm talking about managing my time for giving him more time in my life every day that I need to. Maybe prioritizing other things in my life. And but listen, I want to give him my time. I want to put my time in. I'm going to give him not only that, but my talent. Some of you in here, you know what? God's given you great talents. Whether it's to sing, whether it's to play an instrument, whether he may have given you the gift that you can witness to folks. Whatever it is that God's given you. Listen, our talents, we should want to use those from him. And listen, God's been so good to me. I'm going to just keep doing what he wants me to do. I'm just going to keep putting, no matter what price it takes, no matter who comes against me, no matter who runs me down, no matter who talks about, it doesn't matter whatsoever. Listen, I'm just going to keep on keeping on and serving him. He's been good, so good to me. He's been too good to me for me to stop and give up on him now. And let me say last of all, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep obeying the scriptures. I'm going to keep winning souls. And listen, I'm going to pay whatever price it takes. But let me say this, that during these times, hey, I'm just going to stay the course. I'm going to stay the course. And The Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, "But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry." And here in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul is writing a letter here to Timothy, and he's giving him instruction. And in this particular passage right here, he tells Timothy to endure afflictions. There's going to be a time that we're afflicted, that we're persecuted. The Bible says those who live righteously shall suffer persecution. And during those times of persecution and affliction, here he's telling Timothy that those times are coming. And listen, you just got to endure those times. And let me say this to you. Those times are coming in your life too at some point. But you know what? We need to just endure those. Or you know what? We've got to just push through. Not to give up. But you know what? Just say, "Lord, I'm going to keep on keeping on." And then he says, do the work of an evangelist, meaning just present the gospel. Listen, we all have that job, that duty as a Christian to spread the word of God. You don't have to be a preacher. That's not what it's talking about here. But listen, all of us are to proclaim the gospel to the world. But then he said, make full proof of thy ministry. And this is where I really like it here. And Paul, listen, Paul loved Timothy. I mean, he loved him. And he said, listen, no matter what you do, you got to endure those afflictions. Hey, preach the word, do the work of an evangelist, spread the gospel. But he said, most of all, make full proof of thy ministry. And what he was saying is, listen, leave nothing on the table. Don't just do things halfway. Don't give up. I mean, make full proof. That means when you draw your last breath and when you enter into eternity that you've done it, all that you can do for the cause of Christ. Many of us set out on a journey after we're saved. Yes, we truly maybe get saved and we have that desire in our heart to serve Him, to lean on Him and to learn from Him and listen to Him. But yet, at some point in our lives, you know what? We just draw colder and colder and we don't, our desires isn't what it used to be. And during those times, you know what? We kind of try to settle down in a rut. We don't really want to do anything for Him. Listen, that's what Paul's saying. Listen, make full proof of thy ministry. Listen, get every ounce out of it. I mean, don't leave anything on the table. And then it goes on in verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul's telling Timothy, listen, the time, Paul knew that he was about to die. As he's in prison here, he knew he was going to die. And he's telling Timothy, listen, the time of my departure, death is very near to me, is what he's saying. And he's kind of giving last instructions here to his dear brother that he loves so much. And verse 7 says, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing." And Paul told Timothy here, listen, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he gets a little personal and he gets in detail of his life. He says, "I have fought a good fight." We see in the book of Acts in chapter number 9, we read of a man named Saul of Tarsus. And Saul there was a mean man that we read about. He hated Christians and even allowed them to be killed and stoned. And not only that, but he persecuted and injured several Christians, bound them and threw them in jail. And he was a mean man. He hated Christians. But the Bible says that he got saved there in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. We see where Saul of Tarsus got saved. And they changed his name to Paul. And the Apostle Paul, and that's who we're reading about here today. And Paul's telling him, he said, "I've fought a good fight." Listen, Paul didn't start out right. He didn't start out as a young child being taught the word and loving the Lord God. And, you know, he did a lot of bad things, but he got saved. God forgave him of all those things and then used him to write 13 books of the New Testament. And listen, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, the choices that you've made, and you know what? Probably all of us in here have made bad choices. But you know what? And the Lord's not concerned about that. What He's concerned about is us confessing those to Him and say, "Lord, forgive me, and Lord, I am so sorry." But Paul said, "I fought a good fight." I wonder what kind of fight you're fighting for Christ. I wonder what kind of fight, what are you doing for Him? I mean, truly, what are you doing? Are you doing anything in your life that, you know what, might be pointing those to the cross, those that don't know him. Or anything in your life, are you encouragement at all to anybody at any time? What does Christ mean to you? Paul said, hey, I fought a good fight. And he did fight some true battles. But also he said, not only have I fought a good fight, I have finished my course. And see, when we were born, we began our earthly life began. But yet when we're born again, you know what? We begin a new journey. And that new journey should be a journey where we love Christ and we try our best to live for him. And here, but Paul had a course. The Lord had a course for Paul. Let me say, he's got a course for us. And hey, it's up to us whether we stay on that course and whether we finish that course. I like to use an illustration of just, and I don't run, and I need to. Y'all can probably tell that, but let's just say those that run marathons, and we see those sometimes on television. And but you know what? They have a start and they have a finish line. And you know what? When they shoot that gun or they blow the horn or whatever, that race begins. And when they cross the finish line, and only till they cross the finish line is that race over. And in our lives, you know what? When we're born again, that race begins. That course begins. You know what? And when we die and we draw our last breath, listen, that means we've finished the course. We've crossed over the finish line. And that's not the end. That's not the end. For those that are saved, listen, heaven awaits us. And but he said, I've finished my course. Now you think about a runner, a marathon runner running. And you know what? Some run at different paces than others. But you know what? Hey, the key is that we stay on course and that we finish that race that's set before us. You know what? If one of those runners, if they were to, and they have a certain road or path that they have to take, if they were to veer off that road or path and take a shortcut or try to, if they you know what happens to them? They're disqualified. They're disqualified. You know what? That means they can't finish that course. And listen, for you and I, listen, we need to make sure that we stay on the right path so that we can finish our, sometimes we may veer off the wrong path. But you know what? For those of us that are saved, listen, the Holy Spirit will deal with our heart and draw us back and help us get on the right path. But Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And then he said, I have kept the faith. And what Paul said, you know what? Hey, after he got saved there in Acts chapter 9, we see him begin a journey. The Bible says in verse 11, I believe it is, that he was praying. In verse number 18, the Bible says that Paul was baptized. And I think verse 26 said that he wanted to join himself to the other disciples. He wanted to run with the same crowd. And let me say this. Hey, when you get saved, you truly get saved. Guess what? You'll be different. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know what? When you get saved, there'll be some things that change in your life. Your desires will change in your life. Some of the, maybe the places you go, the people you hang out with, the folks you fellowship with. Listen, you know what? Those things will change in your life. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, right from wrong and lead you. But Paul said, I have kept the faith. Hey, although he fought a good fight and he did, and he finished his course and he did. But let me say this. He said here, through it all, I kept the faith through it all. Listen, Paul was persecuted himself. Remember, he was one that done a lot of persecution. But you know what? After he was saved, listen, Paul went through a lot. And he kept asking God, please remove the thorn of the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen, Paul had some struggles. But through those struggles, through everything, listen, he kept the course. He stayed on course. He fought a good fight. But through it all, he kept the faith. And listen, to us, whatever we do, and let me say this, whatever we do for God, make sure that we're doing it for him. You know what? Sometimes we just want to please our flesh or please others. Listen, we need whatever we do for him, we need to be truly doing it for him. But keep the faith. Keep the faith. Listen, God's been so good to me. God's been so, so good. You know what? There's just some things that I've made a promise to him. I've made a promise to my family. I made a promise. You know what? There's some things that I'm going to do. Hey, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep obeying the scriptures. Hey, I'm going to keep winning souls every chance I get. I'm going to pay whatever price it takes to stay on this course. And most of all, listen, I'm going to stay the course no matter what comes along. In verse 8 there it says that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Bible speaks of five crowns that a person, that a Christian can earn. And these are one of them. Listen, finishing, staying, and keeping the faith. He said, there's benefits for obeying God. There are benefits. One day when we stand before Him, listen, we'll have crowns. Some have more than others, but we'll have some crowns. You know what? And we'll get to lay those at Jesus' feet. We'll get to lay those down. And that's going to be symbolizing us being humility and humble before Him. And Lord, here we're going to lay it down right there at His feet. And I wonder this morning, if you, number one, listen, can you say that truly, 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 without a doubt, that means surely, surely, without a doubt, can you say in your life that God's been good to you? Can you truly, truly say that? I hope you can. Listen, if you're saved, you know what? Hey, you can absolutely say, absolutely, Lord's God's been good to me. But you know what? Not only has He been good, just because He's been good to me in many other ways too. The greatest thing ever done was accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. But listen, each one of you, listen, God's been good to me in other ways too. He's given me a great wife that loves me, two children, two wonderful children. He's given me a great church that I can come and worship in. He's given me this ministry here where I can, He's allowed me to be full time and be here with each one of you. Listen, God's done a lot of great things for me. But let me ask you this morning. Has He truly, can you honestly say truly God's been good to me? Hey, if not, you know what? In just a moment, Miss Melissa, if you come on to the piano and you play for me this morning. We're going to give an invitation this morning. But can you truly, truly say God's been good to you? You know what? Probably each one of us in here right now, listen, we know, you know in your heart. You know if in your heart that, you know what, if you're really, truly saved. The Bible says, I've already mentioned, but in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? That all means all of us. Every one of us. Listen, we fall and come short of it. We've sinned. But the Bible says there in chapter 5, verse 8, that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 6, it actually said Christ died for the ungodly. You know what? No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, you know what? You may be thinking, you know, God's kid, there's no way. I've done too much wrong. I've been too bad of a person. You know what? God can't save me. Let me say He can. And you know what? He will if you allow Him to. But you know what? You've got to make that decision in your life. Has there ever been a time in your life, think back, has there ever been a time in your life that you can remember where you truly, truly asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and your own way and your own words, but actually forgive you and to come into your life and be a part of your life, save you and be the Lord of your life? And I believe this, for those that are saved, listen, you remember something about that day because that's the greatest decision that you've ever made. And I believe there's something about that day that you'll remember. Maybe you sit here today and you say, you know what, I can't remember a day, preacher. I can't remember. You know what? Maybe you might sit here and you know in your heart you've never trusted Christ as Savior. And you realize that, hey, you are a sinner. You realize that you do need to be saved. And in just a moment, listen, you know what? You have that opportunity to come forth. You know what? I can meet you here in the altar. Be glad to. Maybe you want to grab your teacher by the hand, come down, whatever the case may be. Maybe, you know what? You just want to come down and thank the Lord because He has truly been good to you. And listen, I love when you come down and those want to come down and get in this altar. You don't have to by any means. But you know what? Hey, these altars are open to pray on, to pray in. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, this morning, you know what? You could say, Lord, I know that I'm not saved, but I sure would love to be. And you know what? This morning may be the morning that, you know what? Your life can change forever. You know what? Those of you that, hey, that are saved, pray that God will continue to keep you in His will, that, hey, you'll do exactly what He wants to do. You know what? You may have other prayer requests, different things going on in your life, in your family's life, that you just want to pray and ask the Lord to help you. Whatever the case is this morning, listen, I'm going to ask if we all stand together. Ask us all to stand together.